This is exactly right.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and look, I'm cute, but I know I'll never be as cute as a dog in a bandana.
It's just good to know.
Yeah, you know, let it's okay. I know
set
my place.
You free. I'm Brandi Posey, and I was almost asleep, but then I shot awake in horror at the idea of seeing a wedding garter toss in 2024.
I'm Tess Barker, and I do feel that us one ear deafs should get a discount on headphones.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to lady, lady to lady.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Tess, maybe you need to do a deal like Brandy did where she had two left hands for a skeleton and you just split headphones with someone.
Oh, yeah. I just need to find someone with a deaf left ear. Deaf Lefford. Deaf Lefford.
Yeah, deaf Lefford. Could find you one of those.
I just repeated that three times like it was so brilliant. Oh, my God.
That's what's going to happen sometimes, okay?
That's hilarious.
Did you see a garter toss, Brandy?
No, I just, technically that tweet's actually from 2018. I just changed the year. But I think it still applies now. I think in that year I saw one and I was like, what are we doing?
Yeah. I don't need to see anybody's head going under a dress or anything.
No. Yeah. I remember it being it was a lot to watch as a kid.
Yes.
Because they'd really be burrowing through there.
Yeah. I know. If the whole energy in a room shifts when it begins, and as a child, like, you don't really know what's happening, and it's very strange.
I guess it never really, like, I never really caught anything from it. I just, like, was like, oh, whatever, it's a fun thing. You know, I don't think I ever got how kind of weird it was.
Yeah.
No. They always creep me out real bad. Because then it was always, like, whoever caught it, and then whoever got the other...
They're supposed to get together?
Yeah. And I think I was at one wedding where like that second guy had to put the garter on the other woman.
Going the next extra level.
That. Nobody asked for that.
Well, that's a Baltimore wedding, so.
Well, there you go.
And I was like, this is bad. Nobody wants this.
I remember like my awareness of garters sort of like coincided with the initial popularity of scrunchies. And in fourth grade, my best friend Mo Kelly and I, we were doing a school project or a class play about like California history. Mm-hmm. And we pulled a prank and we, instead of wearing like regular California history clothes, we dressed up as hookers and we used the garters, our scrunchies as garters. And we put like Cindy Crawford moles on our face with eyeliner. And then at the end, at the big finale, we like buffaloed our way to the center of the stage dressed as hookers. And there was nothing the teacher could do about it.
This was your prank?
Yeah.
The teacher was having a heart attack in the back of the room. Just like, no, no. I'm like, it's all ending.
Just like smoky eyes.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my God. I would love to see video of that because I can like hear your nervous laugh, but like coming out of a child dressed like a hooker would be.
It was a really good prank. I don't regret it at all.
No, that's top tier. I love it. Yeah, a garter and a scrunchie are cousins, it feels
exactly.
like.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Same technology.
Yeah, the garter is like the older cousin that buys the scrunchie cigarettes.
Yes. Just,
don't worry. When you start drinking, like, it's fine. Your parents are going to say no, but, like, you can do it at my house, and, like, that's cool. Like
that. Yeah, the scrunchie the approaches the garter outside the liquor store. Like, hey, could we?
Yeah.
I've actually seen on Shark Tank... Not to bring whatever. There's a scrunchie that will go over your drink at a bar, so people can't like fuck with your drink.
Oh, so it's like a little more of a shower cap.
Yeah, it's like a shower cap for your drink.
So does it like lock your drink when you're not there?
I don't know if it locks it, but it's like it doesn't. It's not an open. It's not like open the top. I mean, obviously, yes, it seems somewhat easy to fuck with, but. I don't know.
But harder because I think if most people are going to fuck with someone's drink, they're trying to be like quick about it.
Yeah, it's not. It would be pretty obvious if you're taking a scrunchie off.
That's cool.
What colors does it come in?
Yeah.
Lots of. It's just like pepper spray. You can get it in pink.
Wow. Little pattern on my don't rape me cup cover.
At least to be fashionable, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I like that. Yeah, like a lady condom just for the top of your...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do we have any shows to shout out? I don't think I have shit.
Oh, picture this, April 26th, actually, here in Los Angeles. Okay. Come to that. Yeah, that'll be fun. Would love to see you, as always.
Fuck yeah. Yeah.
Come on out.
Follow us all on social. I think we're all figuring out our late spring, early summer situations.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Do you want us to come to your town and do stand up? Like, we'd love to know that actually.
Seriously.
And like, do you have like access to a lot of people that would pay to see such a thing? We're open to making things happen. So
yeah, what cult are you in which you'll all pay to come see us perform?
Yeah, it's fine. You know.
Twin flames. What do we got?
Oh my God, that
Lulu.
I don't perform for LuLaRoe. Twin flame cult. I was like, you followed these people?
I know they were such losers. Yeah,
such losers. You got to at least be a old school cult leaders were more charismatic. I'm just gonna say it.
That's true.
I'm just gonna say it. They were more charismatic than these like new online cult leaders. They don't have the same magnetism. You know,
yeah. If you know how to operate,
I don't know. Like L. Ron Hubbard, it was a lump of coal.
That's true. I mean,
that's true.
But he
like,
did it mostly through his books, right? Like, was he like
a lot of books?
Yeah,
well, he also did the thing where he was smart, and the reason that Scientology persists is that like cults, the problem is you can either make money as a cult leader or you can do weird sex stuff as a cult leader, and he made money. Well, he made money and he did the thing where he didn't cross the streams. Because the second that a cult starts crossing those streams, that's
and
when
I kinda
a cult
consider
takes
him
a dive.
Like a Wizard of Oz figure where like he was operating a lot of stuff but like
from
I don't
behind the great
from behind, yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean I think it's the same. I mean, yeah, I think it's such a big organization that like I think only the really elite people were around him. But I will say that is something that does always fascinate me about cults, is like it usually is a pretty uninteresting person at the
humdrum.
Yeah.
Like it's usually the second person that's the interesting one.
Yeah.
Like remember in Wild Wild Country, that was called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Sheila chick. That was the character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. She's like the real face of the situation.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Marshall Applewhite like had a partner that like died. Heaven's Gate.
Oh, okay.
And when she died is when he was like, cut off all the dicks, put on the Nikes. Time to go.
Yeah. Because the mythology of Heaven's Gate was that you were going to live forever. So when she died, that like ruptured that narrative. And so then he was like, oh shit, like we got to pivot. Okay. Now, Now it's good to die.
Yes. It's good to die, actually. It is good to die, actually.
Yeah.
And we got to do it fast because I don't have the juice. I don't have the juice.
Yeah, because everyone's going to catch on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we're too hot to be cult leaders, honestly.
Honestly. But I would probably join a cult. I mean, I think it'll be a miracle if I leave this life having not joined a cult.
Same. I got to stay far away.
I believe in you. I believe in you guys.
I can't go close to a Scientology situation.
No.
I know myself.
I know. Exactly. Scientology scares the shit out of me.
Oh, I posted this on my Instagram, but I did a show last week or something that was like in the, it was downstairs at the, oh my God, what the fuck is it called? Grand Central Market in downtown. Mm-hmm. Which is a really cool, like, inside market with a bunch of different, like, restaurants and all this stuff. And it was in the basement of there. And literally, they had double booked the space with the Scientology Psychiatry and Industry of Death Museum.
Ooh.
So half of the space was a stand-up show and half of the space was that.
I love Los Angeles.
So it was just, like, creepy. It was like, if you were quiet, all you could hear was the creepy murmuring from all the videos that were, like, playing in the...
Was anyone at the museum, Psychiatry Museum of Death exhibit?
There was a few people in there, but like I didn't want to go near it because I was like, they're going to take your information. Like, again, I was like, I can't go near this, but it was hilarious.
I did a tour of that museum on Halloween years ago because I was like, oh, this will be a fun, spooky thing to do.
Yeah.
And it was funny because they like, have you ever been to the actual museum?
No.
It's wild. It's very wild. It's like a Scientology, like complete... propaganda machine, and that there's a video they show you about how psychology is like responsible for Hitler and all this crazy shit at the very beginning, and you're in this room and you watch it, and then at the end you're like, okay, this is insane, all right, let's walk into the rest of the museum, I guess. And as we were walking in, this like little lady joined our group from a different door than we had entered, and then was walking around with us, and we all have like headphones on, like listening. And I was like, Tim, I'm wearing these headphones. So I'm just like reading stuff. And she kept being like, wow, that's really interesting. Did you see this?
Oh my God, she was like a plant?
Yeah, she was a full-on Scientology plant trying to like engage you further. And I was just like outwardly laughing at every, I was just making fun of the museum. And then she very quickly was like, well, that's a suppressive person. We can't talk to that SP over there.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and the last room is just a bunch of like pamphlets you can just take. And I was like, yeah, I'll take everything. And they were like, she's just going to throw them away. And I did.
It's so bonkers because, like, if you're already in Scientology, of course I understand a field trip to the Psychiatry Museum of
Yes.
But, and yeah, Brandy, that Halloween, that makes perfect sense. But for the average person, it's not like the Norton Simon. You're not like, oh, it's Sunday. Let's go have a nice latte and go to the Psychiatry Museum of Death. Like, how are they hoping to rope people in with this exhibit? Like, no, it's not appealing.
I think it's, no. I will say, for the macabre test.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, I knew someone who saw that and they're like, oh, yeah, I went to that because they thought it was like gothy or something.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Well, which is funny because we do have a Museum of Death in LA that is maybe like 5 blocks away.
Yeah.
That is a much, if you are of the macabre, that is a much crazier thing to go to. You should go to that. Psychiatry Museum of Death, it feels very whitewashed. It's very Scientology propaganda the whole way through.
That's
very,
what it is, yeah.
Yeah. They're basically just like, don't treat any mental illness. Just pretend that an alien, pretend you're an alien. And then you'll be okay.
Well, that's, I'm convinced. The other
thing, I know, right? You would think, as I'm just spitballing here, and obviously I'm not a Scientologist, but
yes,
they really have missed an opportunity here to capitalize on this recent alien situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're well, like, I think
what happened is like it's what we're talking about. They lost one of the top tiers. So I think they don't really know how to pivot here.
Yeah.
You know, you got David Miscavige.
I mean, can you imagine? Because like working for any place where there's a huge company is a nightmare. So much red tape. They gotta. I can't imagine their meetings must be a nightmare. It's
can
like
you imagine their conference calls.
Yeah, it's gotta be awful. They're never getting anything done.
Never.
No. No, there's like one creative over there that's like, hello, we're, this
the
is our
aliens.
Moment.
We could use this.
It's literally Tom Cruise.
Yeah, exactly. Jumping up and down on various desks, just like, somebody listen to me.
There is a Scientology place right by my office that I'm just wondering what numbers they do, because like the rents around here are expensive. It's really
they have
nice
like really rent. Old nice buildings everywhere. Yeah.
They own a lot of the property now too.
That's what it is. They probably own the building.
Yeah, I think they own a lot of they bought a lot of buildings, and I think real estate is like low key their big.
Yeah, they're big.
I mean, they have though. Yeah, in Salt Lake they've got like buildings around, nice ones. It's
yeah,
they're out there.
It's pretty wild. Whenever I'm driving through the valley and like you just see like Scientology Center of the Valley and you're like.
Right. That is a great point, Brandy. Like if you are familiar with LA, I don't know how to explain this. There's not a science to it. I don't really know. But like people in the valley would never be Scientologists.
Never. Never.
Like, no, that is some Los Feliz bullshit. Like that.
Yeah. That's why they gotta have it there so they can. They have to have it there so they can get. They can lure people in.
At the mother station.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. It is the apple cider vinegar of cults. I feel like.
That again. Why I have to stay away. Too convinced.
That's fair. That's fair.
Should we get to our epi?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Don't stay away from the rest of this episode, everybody.
Hey.
The comic we have on this week, she's amazing. I've known her for a long time. I'm putting out her first album on Burn This Records. It's called Disassociation Vacation. It is available now for pre-order. It will be everywhere on April 26th. She has a great podcast called The Bloody Mary Podcast, all about horror movies and why they mean what they mean to you. Enjoy our conversation with Kristen Leidy.
Yeah, Kristen, welcome to the show. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. I'm super excited. So excited that I tried to log into this meeting at 8 a.m. this morning.
Oh, I love that.
I love time zones. Yeah. I wish that.
That's always the funniest when you're just sitting there alone looking at your own camera like, all right.
Yeah. What have I done here, actually? I do it backwards a lot too. Like, I don't know why. I've lived in LA for 17 years almost now. And for whatever reason, I'm still like, no, we're ahead of the East Coast. It's like, no.
We are, though.
Yeah.
We are.
To be fair.
Spiritually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guested on one on Monday and it was like, they sent the time as 10 a.m. Mountain time, but in my
mountain
head, I was like,
time.
I was like, well, that's 10 a.m. my time. And so, of course, I was getting messages at 9 a.m. and I was like, oh, whoops.
Yeah, I never quite know what mountain time means. Like, that doesn't seem like a real time zone.
Yeah, I respect Central. I respect East Coast. Mountain time, you're climbing mountains. Like, what time is it in the mountains? Leave your
That's
watch
true.
In the car.
You're closer
like,
to the
whole
sun.
Point?
What's happening?
Wait, yeah, Kristen, are you on mountain time?
I am not. I'm Central
okay.
time.
Okay, phew.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, don't worry.
I mean, I'm from Mountain Time, so it's a little degrading, but
okay. Sorry.
I feel like we got the most exciting title, at least, you know.
Yeah. Kristen's coming to us live from Green Bay, Wisconsin. How's Green Bay this fine morning?
We were experiencing spring for like a week and that was nice, and then yesterday it snowed and snowed again, and it's so cold.
Oh, us too. It was like hot for a second and now it's gloomy again today.
Yeah, I did get to come out in February to LA, and I feel like that fueled my soul to get me through the rest of it. But normally, you know, we're done with winter by April, so I'm hoping it's soon.
All bets are off at this point. We never know what the fuck's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Think of a friend that is a big gardener in Omaha, and she's like, the frost is 3 weeks early this year. I got to get my seeds in the ground. Like, her Instagram stories are very gardener-focused. And she's like, I mean, I'm always like, I love that you learned all this. I'm very proud of you. I think I'm going to give up the ghost of being a serious gardener someday.
That's valid. Yeah. I did water my air plant this morning, Brandy.
Oh,
good for you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hell yeah. How's your green thumb, Kristen?
Oh, terrible. I kill everything in my yard.
Cool.
Why all is right, it great. So hard? I feel like it's like baking. Like you're either good at it or you're not.
Yeah, I can't even keep grass alive. I don't know what is wrong with me, but yeah.
So much attention to detail, I guess.
We're okay. I'm sorry I'm sharing this, but we're talking about yards and something happened.
Oh.
What I'm going to describe is really gross, and I apologize, but okay. I have to share it because bring it's so it.
Please.
Weird.
Please.
So, like, I was out in our front yard yesterday, like, watering some of our plants, and I walked onto the lawn, and we actually have grass right now because it's been so rainy. We've got, like, a good patch of grass in our front little square. And I, like, saw something in the grass, and I was like, what is that? And my first reaction was that, because we had weird stuff with our neighbor, I was like, did they, like, throw something weird in our yard? I don't think so, because if another person touched this, I would be fucking shocked. I'm calling it demon scat. That's the only thing I can describe it. It was like, I think a coyote maybe threw up. So it was a small animal mixed with other things. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Ooh. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, I still can't wrap my mind around what the fuck it was.
Did you have to clean it, or did you make Adam do it?
No, Adam did it. Thank God. I just texted him, and I was like, there's something really weird in our front yard. And I was like, do you want a photo? And he's like, no. And I'm like, okay.
Just come home.
Just come home. I kind of wish I had taken a photo because it was just so fucking, it was the weirdest looking thing I've ever seen. Just like so bizarre. And so I'm like, are we cursed now? Like, what? I don't know what that was.
You do have a lot of coyotes in your neighborhood. I think
no, there are. And then like last night we heard, they were going off last night. They were fucking, you know,
they got
singing.
Rid of our treat. We left our treat that for later. It was marinated.
Yeah, exactly. They left something behind. Yeah. So I was just like, it was fucking weird. So I'm just kind of sitting with that, you know?
Yeah.
All right.
I was like, I kind of wanted to take a picture and put it on because like Reddit has a thing that's like, oh, what is this forum? You know, where people like figure out what things are. And I kind of want to. But I'm like, that's the only answer it could be, is just that like an animal threw something.
Well, but I mean, also, you don't want that picture on your phone because then it's going to show up on your memories later.
Yeah, I'll probably be in like a, you know, when they give you slideshows of your animals reels. And stuff.
I do kind of want to see it now.
Yeah, I know. You're painting. You're all painting
a picture.
I know.
It was fascinating. I mean, it was scientific.
I don't want to see it.
No, you don't. You don't. But I had to share it. So, Kristen, tell us about your podcast, Bloody Mary Podcast.
Yeah, it's a podcast I do over Zoom, chatting with folks about their favorite horror movies. And I really like to talk about why they love the movie and what it means to them personally. A lot of times in horror, you know, you can get into like trivia or, you know, just facts about the movie. But I really love it. I love using it as a vehicle to talk about people, you know, what they care about, what is important to them, what has affected them throughout their life. I actually have had some really deep conversations with folks about, you know, movies that really matter to them. Like I had a woman on talking about Train to Busan, which is already like the saddest movie ever. But then we talked about her relationship with her dad. And that was Diane Hong that was on. Yeah, I really love it. I love horror. So I love like trying to force anyone to talk about it with me. And podcast is a pretty good way to do that.
How did you get into horror? Were you a kid that watched a lot of horror movies?
I was. My grandpa had a video store when I was little. So I'd go there after school. Yeah. And then, you know, just get to watch. I was kind of a free range kid. So I just watched whatever I wanted. And like the horror boxes were always the most tantalizing. You know, it was like a little smutty. And it was like, what's going on here? Like,
yeah, the art of those like 80s and 90s horror covers is like its own genre,
high camp.
Obviously. Yeah, high camp, super crazy. What was your like main drug into that world? Like, was there one series or like something that you were like, oh yeah, I'm a horror girl?
I always loved zombies from a young age. Night of the Living Dead was probably one of the first movies I saw, that and Bloodsucking Freaks. And I just loved like the absolute hilarity of them and how, you know, impractical it was. and how it just kind of changed everyone's life in the movie upside down and made people understand what really mattered. And I don't know, I thought that theme was very beautiful. Kind of the idea that you got to all work together, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Night of the Living Dead is the best name check for me as a Barbara of all time. They're coming.
Oh,
to get you,
yeah.
Barbara. That's definitely the best Barbara reference, I think, in a movie for me.
Yeah. How many people have said they're coming for you, Barbara?
Yeah. Well, I like it when people say it in the right way. You know what I mean? I remember my biggest fake out of like a movie VHS box that I was not the movie I thought I was going to be was Porky's.
Oh yeah, what is that movie about? Because I always remember seeing it at Blockbuster. Ooh, we never rented it.
It's there's a lot of sexual assault going on.
Okay,
but as like under the guise
it's
of like comedy,
you know, lighthearted assault.
Kids will be kids.
Yeah, it's just like it, you know, the cover looks like it's like some like 50s like high school romp or whatever, but it's like extremely like sexual, like guys are sticking their dicks through like peepholes and just like there's a lot of weird shit going on in it. So it's just very like lewd and shit. And I remember renting it as a kid and then being like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, I remember watching it in like, it was always on Comedy Central, like when you were homesick. It was like that or Johnny Dangerously were like the two.
Oh my God, they had to edit everything out of Porky's.
Oh, it was a very short movie, but I remember being like, I don't understand half of what's happening, and I don't think that I want to know the rest. So I would always just like click over.
Yeah, I think it was Kim Cattrall's like first movie.
Oh, Kim Cattrall's in it. That makes sense.
She plays like the hot gym teacher or something.
Is Kim Cattrall not also the mannequin in Mannequin?
She is. She's the mannequin. Which I actually watched like recently.
Did it hold up? I used to love that movie.
It's really fun. It still holds up. Hollywood, still amazing. It's still good. So I would recommend that over Porky's, everyone. If you're going for a Kim Cattrall vehicle.
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like amazed that I grew up to be a progressive person having lived through the 80s.
Maybe that's why.
It's impressive. Yeah.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's funny because, like, so Kristen's also, like, a union organizer in Green Bay, and I love that, like, from zombie movies of, like, all just everybody needs to work together to survive, like, that is kind of, like, what you preach, like, as your job.
Yeah. I've got a common theme through everything.
a lot of dealing with zombies. It makes sense. Yeah.
HR, zombies.
Yeah, that's for real. Man, I forget. I did your podcast forever ago when you still lived in Chicago. Did I do a Child's Play or did I do Evil Dead? I forget.
You did Evil Dead. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. Because that's my favorite that I like. I genuinely like it, but like Child's Play like ruined my childhood because I saw it when I was way too young.
Never trust a doll again.
Yeah. No.
No. Do they have to come? They fucked up dolls and water.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, they gave sharks a bad name. I mean, I actually, like, it's funny. I don't consider myself a big horror person, but sometimes I'll get on, like, a streak where I watch a bunch of them. Like, I watched all the Screams last year, and then I started watching Chucky the TV show.
Is that new?
Yeah, it just came out, like, in the last few years. It's good. And then, like, I didn't watch the movies, but I just read all the plots on Wikipedia. Because like
Chucky movies.
Yeah, because there's so many like overlapping things, and then they're like, but then they came alive again and did this, and like there's always something funny like happening in that. So it's just kind of entertaining to read like how they bring someone back from the dead 10 times, you know. They're like, but actually that wasn't real, and then they did. I mean, I guess Chucky's all
very
like
soap
shit,
opera.
So it's very easy to Exactly.
Is it all voodoo stuff? I have I'm so illiterate with horror movies. I know Chucky's about a doll.
Yeah.
That a murderer gets voodooed into.
Yeah.
What it is?
A guy like is getting chased by the cops and he's like in a toy store and he gets his soul put into a doll.
Dick.
Which is like, okay, but Chucky the doll is terrifying if it has a murder in it or not. I'm sorry.
Right. It's. I just thought it was. I mean, I bought in on the premise of like, oh, dolls are scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it children really like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For sure. Well, and it played off of the other. Did any of you guys have like a My Buddy or a Kid Sister doll growing up?
I didn't have one.
I had something called a Julie doll, which was my pride and joy.
Oh yeah, Julie dolls were big.
Yeah. And then when I was in acting class, the girl who voiced Julie was in class with me.
Oh my
god! I was more starstruck.
You're like, we're friends.
Yeah, like Kirsten Dunst was also in my class, and I was more starstruck by the Julie voice.
That's fair. What did Julie say?
She said, I mean, she was really ahead of her time because this was like the early 90s, and she talked a lot. You could have full conversations with her. When you turned her on, she would say, "Hi, my name's Julie. What's yours?" And she was like, if you took her out to the sun after being somewhere dark, she would sneeze. She's like, "Achoo. Oh, I'm not used to the sunlight." She was ticklish. You could tickle her.
Oh, that's wild.
She could read. She had these like sensors on her fingers, and she came with special storybooks. So you could put her fingers like almost like Braille, like on the books, and she could read the book to you. It was dope. I love that
one
doll.
Of these now.
I know. She was dope.
I never got one of those talking ones. Did I ever got Teddy Ruxpin or one of the other ones that I think
Cricket?
Like, that's a lost.
I had a Teddy Ruxpin, and my dad put his Motley Crue tape in it, and
I feel like that happened a lot. Yeah.
I kind of want to get a definitely. Teddy Ruxpin now and start collecting cassettes. Like, that's fun.
Yeah.
Does the mouth move when you play stuff?
Oh, yeah. And the eyes.
Yeah, the eyes blink and look around and everything. I had a Teddy Ruxpin, too. He's like, he probably is not in my dad's attic anymore. That attic, like, has never truly been cleaned out, but.
He'll find some gems in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My old American Girl dolls. There's definitely
What American Girl dolls did you have, Brandy?
I had a Felicity, which, and this is also, that came after my Chucky fear, but I also didn't tell my parents about my fear of Chucky because I thought if my dolls overheard me betraying them, they might kill my family. So I lived in a self-imposed hell for many years. And then one year they just gave me a Felicity doll and I was like, great.
Wow, it's so big.
I definitely wanted this. Okay. Yeah, but I had Felicity, and then like a year or two later they got one that was like a make it your own doll, but it was like she like looked like my mom, like she was like kind of olive skin, dark hair, dark eyes basically. And I was like, okay, cool, I have these dolls, they're not and I just lived on bunk beds together. And I was like, I'm not gonna touch them.
You didn't
I'll
give
just
a
be
shit.
In that corner, I guess.
Do you know how many girls would have been jealous of you that you had two American Girl dolls?
I know, I know. I was just like sleeping on these riches.
Wow. Do you guys want to know something fucked up? My friend has a daughter who's in like second or third grade. Anyway, her American Girl doll. Guess what era she's from?
90s.
Yes, 1999.
99.
Her American Girl doll is into No Doubt.
What?
I'm serious. Yes.
Oh, I get it, because they're supposed to be old school. Sorry, I don't really know about American Girl dolls. So no, they're supposed to be old timey.
Yes, they're from like different colonials. Periods in history. Like Felicity was from the colonial time, I think, right?
Yeah.
They shouldn't have like
the Revolutionary War.
One of the they shouldn't be associated with hosting The Voice,
right?
At this point,
I feel very old now. Thank you.
Wow. What do her eyebrows look like?
If they exist, I guarantee you they're not very thick.
No, that's a feature. You get to draw them on for her.
Yeah, does she have like a whale tail popping out? Like, what are we talking about? What's going on here?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I have lots of questions. Oh, I see her.
Her name's Nikki, huh? I'm Googling it. Yeah.
Her name's Nikki, huh?
That is a very 90s name. Nikki, N-I-C-K-I.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, I knew. I knew how it was spelled.
A backwards hat. She's got a yin-yang sign choker necklace on.
Oh, God. I wore that.
A reed.
Yeah.
Oh, and she's twins. She has a twin sister named Isabel, who
What's
has
Isabel's
a beret
deal?
with... with pins on it.
Isabel looks like she's more the art school. Isabel watches Buffy and Nikki watches Dawson's Creek.
You can get an American Girl doll inflatable chair.
What does it look like?
I mean, it's an inflatable.
Like a small one for your doll because it's the 90s.
Yeah, like a small one. Yeah, a small one for your doll that, you know, like you would buy at Spencer's.
That's actually really cute.
Oh, she's got the front highlight as well. That's really nailing it.
They got it. Yeah, they did get it.
Yeah, it's really, man.
Oh my God, her room is so 90s. Oh my, I want this doll. It's really cute.
It is very cute.
Oh my God.
What would Sean do if you just like were like, I'm getting a doll?
At this point, after all the shenanigans he's witnessed, I think that would be the least of his concerns. I did do, for one of my freelance jobs, I did a write-up Build-A-Bear this year for Valentine's Day. I had like sexy Build-A-Bears. And like some parents were like pissed about it. But I was like, I wouldn't mind receiving a sexy Build-A-Bear. I think that's cute. They weren't like that horny. They were just like, right, you know.
Some ruffles.
Like a guy in like a silk robe. Like I thought they were cute.
Oh, okay. So it's not like there's like a pocket pussy in the bear.
No. They're just like, they're just for adults.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Got it. I was like, how are we making these bear? What are we?
Build-A-Bear after dark.
Yes. Build-A-Bear after dark.
They should. They're like, we're trying to maximize our profits, so we're turning it into a nightclub in the evening. 21 plus.
We know you all want these slutty bears.
Absolutely. Foam party Build-A-Bear. Man, that was a big 1999. That's a real turn of the century. Do foam parties still happen? Is that still a thing?
I don't know. I don't think I ever went to one.
Me neither.
I did.
Yeah, I went to one and I punched a man in the face and knocked him out. So
yeah, I never went to one. That sounds to me like what would happen if Brandy Posey went to a foam party.
Yeah, it was the first time I ever.
Where were you?
Senior week, Ocean City, Maryland. We got to go to like a 21 and under foam party.
Mm-hmm. Oh God, 21 and under clubs. Oh,
that... I'm pretty sure the guy had a fake ID to get into that place. Yes. That was the vibe I got from him.
Oh, the things we lived through.
Yeah. Hey guys, it's Tess. I'm a creative person. I love making things, and honestly, making things requires that I'm in the flow state. I think it's so important to get into that zone before you can do anything cool creatively, and that's why I'm loving Magic Mind. Magic Mind is a matcha-based energy shot that's infused with nootropics and adaptogens. It's designed to crush procrastination, brain fog, and fatigue. I am loving this stuff. You just shake it, shoot it, and then you feel the benefits for 7 hours or more. Trying it is risk-free thanks to Magic Mind's 100% money-back guarantee. It's no questions asked, and if you don't like it, they'll refund you in 3 to 4 hours. I've been using this stuff before writing sessions, while I'm getting my album together, I'm working on a new project. I am using my Magic Mind to make magic stuff with my mind. If you're like me and always have new kind of creative stuff you want to do, I totally recommend you try it. Go to magicmind.com/ladytolady20, and with code ladytolady20, you'll get 56% off your first subscription, or 20% off your one-time purchase. That's code ladytolady20 for 56% off. It also works if you're an existing subscriber. You'll just save on your next subscription payment. Again, that's magicmind.com/ladytolady20 with code ladytolady20.
Should we play a game?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Which one do we want to do?
Let's do that's a random. It's been a minute.
Okay.
Hey, Blinken's my dad.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so random.
Right?
Oh my God.
I didn't make it up.
Oh my God. I can't. It's just like, that's so random.
So random.
So freaking random.
It really honestly is.
So random.
Not raving.
What you're telling me right now is so random.
I can't even.
That's a random.
Random.
Okay, Kristen, these are going to be very random questions. Please answer them as you see fit.
Okay.
Kristen, what is the most ridiculous outfit you have ever worn in public?
Oh, I was actually laughing to myself because when I was a teenager, I had these I was very crust punk. So I had the shorts with the patches all over them. And then I would wear combat boots with these green plaid socks that I really loved. And then just a band t-shirt. And I would always cut my own hair. But I remember my mom always saying, walk ahead of me.
Wow.
That's fair compromise for a mom, I think. You can wear that, but walk ahead of me.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I don't want somebody to say that that's my, I did that. I let that happen. Man, oh my God, you're just unlocking a memory. I remember when I went prom dress shopping, I went through a dog collar phase for a minute my senior year. And me and my mom went out to dinner afterwards, and some guy came over to our table and said, do you know that that's about BDSM, to my mom?
To your mom?
Pointing at my dog collar. And I was like, I got it in a Hot Topic. I think it's cool.
It's about BDSM if you make it about that, sir.
Yeah.
And no, you were how old? 17?
I was 17. It was crazy. And then my mom doesn't know. My mom did not know what that was.
Yeah. Sure. Is that something on the IHOP menu?
Yeah. She's like, well, we're at Denny's, so I don't know what that means. And I was like, what? I mean, man. And I just had a traumatic prom dress shopping experience because I had dared to have boobs in 2001.
Yeah.
I don't know if the young girls are going through this shit or not now, but man, I think there's better options now that we were inflicted upon us.
Oh my God.
In third grade, I was told not to dress so scandalously, by a Bible study leader. And I was I'm in third grade and wearing a tank top.
This seems a problem with you, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. I got in trouble so much for dress code in high school. And then in retrospect, it's why were all these adults looking at my whale tail? Go away.
Yeah. It's fine. Check your own. Go journal somewhere, asshole. Okay. Kristen, which movie monster would you have the easiest time beating in a fight?
I honestly think probably Michael Myers, because I would just leave that town.
So slow.
Never come back, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does he not he's only in one town?
Yeah, and then the Strobe family just stays there.
Right. Well, eventually you gotta get out of town.
I mean, if you got good rent, though,
that's true. Look, we've all been there.
It's a cheap area.
Yeah, exactly. Because of him. It's such a cheap place to live. We're willing to sacrifice a few people.
I get it. I got a mortgage. It's, makes sense now.
He's super slow too, right? He is. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like somebody just needs to put a GPS tracker on him from behind. And then there's an app that everyone just keeps track of where he is.
Everyone in town's just that's fine.
Yeah. Michael's
sometimes
coming.
Sometimes drive, though, which is just hilarious to see him behind the wheel in his little mask. I love that.
Okay.
So I guess he could follow.
Yeah.
Kristen, have you ever cheated at a board game?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, emphatic. Emphatic.
I hate Monopoly. I hate the very concept of it. I think so. I'd always take money and then put money on other people's places too. So
you're just doing it to create chaos.
Yeah. Imagine that. The anti-capitalists didn't like Monopoly.
Has anyone played Monopoly in the last billion years? I feel we all realize it's a terrible game and just I don't know anyone who's tried to.
You bet your ass I haven't.
Yeah.
No, yeah. You're forcing people into homelessness and poverty.
All the money for me. And it's also really monotonous. It should be called monotonously. It never reaches a crescendo. It just kind of dwindles out as people get more and more fed up with your antics.
Yeah, and then someone flips the board.
Yeah.
Yes. Usually ends that way. It's like Monopoly and Risk, I feel like, both end with like a board flip and your friendship's a little bit less Jilted. Tight.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like bad. Everyone gets pissed at each other. It's just a terrible.
Yeah.
You know what I would like? I would play Monopoly if we were playing with real money.
Uh-huh. Oh, shit. All right.
Tess also just said that while she's twirling her wedding ring. I just want everyone to just picture her and fingering a diamond as she is saying this.
I think my husband would approve.
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah. It'd be funny. It'd be funny, like, one of those, like, BuzzFeed barely exists anymore, but it'd be a funny, like, one of the series to be like, oh, to make young people who have never played Monopoly, like, play it. To be like, why did you do this?
You know what? My TikTok is inundated with ads for Monopoly, like some app they have. Maybe that's why young people don't like Monopoly.
I think there is like, did they say you can actually make money on it? Because I know that there's some where they're like, you know those weird ads where they're like, what do you do for work? I play this slot machine game all day. Yeah. And it's just like, what is this shit?
Yeah.
So distilled.
Yeah, I'm like, I think what happens is you're playing that game, but then you're also calling me trying to scam me. And I think those are the numbers that I don't answer or what they're doing between their turns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know like some of the background of a lot of the scammer stuff? It's bad. Mm-hmm. Well, it's obviously mm-hmm. bad. We know that. But
of course,
a lot of it's like I'm going to get some of this wrong. But one of the Reddit forums I look at is scammer payback, where somebody just like responds to those texts, those mistaken phone mm-hmm. texts, you know, and they go back and forth. But I guess there's like, it's like people who are literally being held hostage and like forced text people. Yeah.
Why are they holding these people hostage?
So that they'll make money.
Yeah.
But do you need a real person to do that? I always just thought they were bots.
No, they're not bots. They're real people. A lot of them are real people.
Well, this will be a good use of AI. I think if we can get rid of the hostages that are texting us trying to get our money with AI, there's one AI I'm on board with. Yeah. Let those people go.
Yeah, no, it's real people.
I watched that. Did you guys watch that telemarketers documentary?
Mm-mm. Oh, no, I need to watch that.
It's good. It's really good. But I'm not spoiling too much, but obviously it was like this super corrupt situation that, spoiler alert, goes back to the cops being fucked up. Shocking. But these telemarketing companies, a lot of the guys that worked there, like, they didn't like working there. They just like needed a job. A lot of them had like just come out of jail, whatever, yada yada. They were recording their voices while they were working there. And so even now to this day, when you get a call from a telemarketer, a lot of times it's from somebody who worked there like 10, 15 years ago. And some of these people are dead and they're still using their voice to make robocalls.
What? That's so fucked up.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's like an even darker version of like the fake audience laughter that's already dead people. No one talks about how cursed audio can be.
Oh my God, I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
The same laugh track forever and ever.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of those old shows, like, they use the canned laughter and it's like from old audiences in like the 50s and stuff. And
I mean, that's kind of cool. Like, I want to, if I'm going to use it, I want that to be the same one that, like, you know, mm-hmm. I was going to say I Love Lucy, but I guess they didn't have one, did they?
That was in front of a live studio audience. I think most of that was like real.
Yeah, probably real.
But whatever it is, I want to use theirs.
Yeah. I always like in the, I kind of miss laugh tracks, and I like in the laugh track when they would have someone go, oh.
Or like when they miss and then the whole crowd goes, ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This prude ass crowd. What's the matter with you?
They're like a Greek chorus. I miss them.
Yeah.
It's funny how weird they feel now, though. Like, they just, multicam shows just like feel so, I mean, they're comfortable, but like new ones feel very weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a reality show with a laugh track. I think it would be funny insert one after the fact.
Ooh, have y'all watched that reality show, Love in Translation?
No.
It's so good. It's like three American dudes that want to meet the love of their life. So they bring 12 women from around the world who none of them speak the same language. And shocker, it doesn't go well.
Yeah. Like, those are my favorite reality shows. Shocker, it doesn't go well.
Yeah. I love, like, when hot idiots are forced to experience, like, emotional intelligence in some way. Yes. That's my favorite. I love it.
The best genre of reality TV.
Oh, man. Shout out to the captioner on that show. Hot damn. Really making.
Oh, speaking I had lunch with my mom yesterday, and my mom's very progressive, you know, and she was talking about, like, gay kids and, like, how they need more rights, yada, yada. But, and then at the end of the conversation, she's just like, I'll say this, though. I saw this the other day. It's a TV show called Couple the Thruple. That is not okay.
That is hilarious. That is not okay.
That is where I draw the line. That is not okay. A TV show called Couple the Thruple.
I love it.
Oh, I did watch one. It was pretty bad.
I watched it too. Did you just watch the first episode?
I did. Or maybe two. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was rooting for the one with the blonde girl who looked like she dressed from Delia's.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Those two seem cute. A couple of the male people in the partnership just seemed a bit overeager. And
yeah.
So, like, the idea is that they're just seeing if being a thruple could work for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like love. Well, it's sort of in the vein of Love is Blind or like a dating show, but yeah, it's a couple.
Right, right.
Dating. Well, it's a
person.
Couple turning into a thruple. Yeah.
So it's kind of like a couple to a thruple.
A couple to a thruple.
And I'm sorry, but that is such a good name for a TV show.
Oh, yeah. They sold it just on name alone. 1,000%. They're like, we'll figure it out after the fact. Yeah. It's fine.
I will say, in the vein of reality, and I'm sorry because not everyone's going to know these references, but I went to the bar of a reality show TV star two nights ago. I went to Jax's in Studio City. He's from Vanderpump Rules and he has his own show called The Valley now. And he was just wandering around. I was like, this is so weird. I've just been watching this guy on TV for like 10 years and he was bussing our table.
He was bussing?
Yeah, he bussed our table.
So cool.
So he's not on Vanderpump anymore. He hasn't been on it for a minute, but he live talked shit about it. Live commentary talking shit about it, and it was fucking amazing. He was just like, scripted, this is scripted. When I was in the show, it was organic. This is bullshit. And I was like,
really?
Dying.
You're
laughing.
So lucky. I can't believe you got to see
it. It was amazing. It was pretty great. I was just like laughing so hard.
Other context, like, Jax is a terrible person, but like really good TV. Like, just
he's a very good reality star.
Really
yeah.
good reality star. Just like, I don't even know.
Like a villain?
Yes. Very much. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. He was but like a self-aware villain. He's just like, I'm a bad person. What?
You need to make a bad person.
And then like, so he met his wife on the show and got married and they're both on this new show now, but right now they're separated. And I got to watch him watch her live on Watch What Happens Live. He's watching his current wife. And he's just standing there staring at the TV. And then there's a poll that says, should Jax and Brittany stay together? And I was just watching him watch this. And I was like, this is so fucking weird.
Oh, man.
It was pretty great.
You can do that for all your friends who are in bad couples.
Yes!
Let Andy just Cohen let, weigh in on
let
this.
Let Twitter decide, everybody. Let Twitter decide. It was pretty great.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Oh my gosh. You know, I like that he's still working. It's good.
He was like putting in the work at the place, which was like nice to see. So, you know, I was not expecting that at all.
And it wasn't super packed. Like your video didn't seem like it was super.
No,
like,
it wasn't. There was people there, but it was not like packed to the gills. So it was just like, this is crazy. Like, and it's just weird to live in LA because it's like, oh, you just have access to this, you know?
Yeah. I like this business model that the Vanderpump Empire has going on where it's like you have the reality show and then the restaurant is the set for the reality show. So that works. And then also it functions like the restaurant is successful because you put the people like zoo animals in the restaurant and then
people
go
come
to
see them. Yeah.
It's such a smart business model.
That's basically what they've done with like basically four restaurants now. So. You know,
have any of them made the jump with a product to like frozen dinner Have any of them tried to make the jump?
No frozen dinners, but like everyone makes products. Like there's a wine thing. When somebody has a t-shirt line, like there's all, everyone has a podcast, of course.
Yes.
Of course. Yes. I mean, classic.
Podcasts like are the frozen TV dinners of our time.
Yeah. Bethany Frankel, who's from Real Housewives in New York, she's literally invented the ultimate margarita.
Yeah.
And and we're watching New York back from the beginning, and I actually, you see her invent the skinny margarita on the show.
Like, whoa. That's incredible.
That's historical as well.
Historical record. It should be in the Smithsonian. I know that I used to buy her skinny margaritas at Costco. So I don't know if she ventured into the frozen food with the skinny brand, but I wouldn't be
frozen surprised. Margaritas, at least.
Yeah.
Is it associated with the skinny menu at Cheesecake Factory? Like,
oh, that's a great question.
Skinnylicious.
She's branded that. Licious. Yeah.
Yeah.
The worst name of all time.
Oh, my gosh.
How do you feel about Cheesecake Factory, Kristen?
Actually, I've never been to one.
Really?
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Do they have them out there?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Well, really? Wait, we do have one. We do have one. Yes.
Okay. I was going to say, no Cheesecake Factory in Wisconsin?
Home of cheese.
Yeah. Well, are you curious?
No.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's fair. It's like the chain of chains, I think. I kind of consider it like a top tier of the chains. I think it's like the crown jewel, right?
Yeah. For me, it's like Cheesecake Factory, CPK, right there next to each other.
Mm.
CPK?
California Pizza Kitchen?
Oh, yeah. I don't think we have those. I also don't really leave the house, so maybe I'm not a good judge.
No, you're fair. I remember when CPK came to Maryland and how exotic it was. So that it was a big deal that they could put barbecue chicken on pizza. It was like,
yeah,
a revolution. What?
This is CPK, crazy.
They were at the forefront of the barbecue chicken pizza game. And then just to give you an idea of the ambiance in the mid-90s, they had pizza boxes that different artists they commissioned to paint the pizza boxes.
Mm-hmm.
So that was sort of the art. Yeah, you had modern art pizza boxes. And then another big factor of Cheesecake Pizza Factory, they have a pizza that they put a salad on top of.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Oh
man, that fucking is so good. I want one so bad.
Come on, arugula.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Huh. Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of all you need to know about it.
Okay. Kristen, now I have another question for you. I'm not saying it has to be Cheesecake Factory, but what's one item on your bucket list?
Okay, so a Cheesecake Factory will be a close second. But I really want to go to Hollywood Forever. I was supposed to go there in February, and I just got too busy. But that's definitely on the bucket list. I really want to go there.
Oh, you want to go see a movie, or do you just want to walk around?
I kind of want to do the tour. It would be cool to see an event there too. I love that they have like musicians there and the movie. Mm-hmm. I want to spend a whole day there.
Oh, I hope you get to do that soon. Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah,
I will say, we should say it's the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. When you say like, I want to go to Hollywood forever.
Oh yeah, that sounds insane.
A lot of people have said that too.
I mean, you can.
I don't recommend that because
I want to be a star.
I know you like zombie movies, but that's usually where they come.
that's the real zombie. I saw Flaming Lips there, one of the best fucking experiences of my life. And I remember seeing Purple Rain there after Prince died.
Oh wow.
And that was fucking cool. It's definitely me. I haven't done the tour though. I should do the tour.
Yeah, it's really cool. And like a lot of the gravestones have like people's headshots.
Yeah.
It's like a portrait, but it's like a like the most flattering portraits. It just looks like there's like a cemetery full of headshots.
That's awesome.
Hot dead people.
Deep metaphor.
Exactly.
I was watching this girl on TikTok who was touring LA recently, and she's from the UK, and like her perspective on LA was just so great, because you know, if you've lived here forever, it's just not the same. And so watching just like a tourist, come and do stuff, I was like, fuck, I gotta like do all this shit. Like, I wanna.
What was the top thing that you haven't done?
I mean, I guess she did. I guess I've done a lot of the stuff she's done, but just, I haven't been to Formosa Cafe. And she was talking about like how it's been around forever and like everyone used to go there. And I was like, I guess I did a mic there once upon a time, but like I haven't really gone and like ate there or anything. So mm-hmm. that would be nice. And just kind of like a lot of the old Hollywood stuff that I think you kind of take for granted, you know?
Yeah.
But, but again, Hollywood Forever is one thing that I'm like, oh, I should actually do a tour there. That would be cool.
I love cemetery tours. I did one in London. We went to the Highgate Cemetery, and that was really cool. And I've done a few others, but it's a really neat way to learn the history of a place. I love them.
I love tours. Yeah. I feel like it's just a nice, like, yeah, like you said, it's a good way to learn the history and just like someone show me what I should look at.
Well, and, like, it's so overwhelming. Older cemeteries are gorgeous and cool, and it's also fun to see like the way that people like honor somebody like a famous person after they've died or whatever too. Like, I remember being in like upstate New York, in Rochester. I forget the name of the cemetery, but like Susan B. Anthony is there, and so is what's his name? Frederick Douglass is there, and a few other people, and it's just like it was right before the 2016 election, and it was very cool just to see how many people were putting like quarters and like Susan B. Anthony dollars like on her thing and everything. You know, whatever happened next was not what we wanted, but you know, that moment it was like very cool just to see like, I don't know, people coming to honor.
Honor,
like just everyone else. There's a gal I follow on Instagram that she goes to different cemeteries, and a lot of women put their recipe, like the recipe that's their recipe, on their tombstone.
Oh, wow.
And she started making the things bringing them back and like leaving them there. I love that.
What recipe?
Oh my God, that's so much choice. Pressure. My God.
I'm going to go my breakfast hash that I make with like potatoes and onions and greens and all that stuff.
Ooh, I want my mom's chicken booyah. That'll be mine.
Nice. Yeah, I think my grandma's spaghetti sauce, I would just use hers. It's really, really good.
I think my best dish is my lasagna, but I don't really have a recipe for it. It's very like intuitive, but I could write a recipe for it. I think my lasagna, because like, lately, whenever I have a friend that has a baby, I make them a lasagna, and like the reviews have been out of the park.
That's a great call. Lasagna, baby.
Yeah, because it feeds you for like 3 days, and it's like so comforting, you know?
Oh my God. This actually reminds me of Katrina Davis has such a fucking funny joke that I'm going to fuck up. But basically, she talks about how this goes along with cemetery stuff, where like when someone buys a plot together, they don't buy it together, they buy it on top and under each other, so it's not next to each other, they're on top and under each other. So she called it like lasagna, like you're just like layers, cemetery lasagna. It all comes together.
Oh my God,
it's amazing.
My mom told me she bought her plot. She got it in a mausoleum, you know, which is like fancy. Brightly lit. And I was so mad. I was like, "Oh my God, now I'm gonna have to go cry about you in some kind of mall-like place." Like you couldn't.
That's amazing. That's
baller.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, she was so happy to tell me. Guess what I bought.
No, parents get to an age and they love to tell you that.
Oh, keep bragging about all the land you own. Congratulations. Yeah.
No more real estate.
Yeah, yeah. All right, should we do a lady problem?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Y'all know the drill. Give us your lady problems. You can call us 3236-BUT30. Give us a phone call there or email us. Oh my God, I was going to say my own email. Jesus Christ. Woo! Email us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems.
Hey y'all, I am a frequent caller for commentary, but I've never called in with a lady problem, so here it goes. I live in Arkansas, and I have a remote job that has just set me up with the perfect conditions for my lifestyle. I get to work from home. I kind of have a writing job. It's technical writing, but, you know, I have a journalism degree, so it's sort of in the vein of what I was going toward, even though not exactly, but it pays well. I have all this freedom, and it works really well for me because I also struggle with bipolar disorder, which I've got very well managed, but I had difficulties with the side effects of medication, so I choose to manage it through, you know, just other ways than the traditional medications. I just do a very limited amount of that, so I really need, like, a low-stress, low-pressure environment. But the thing is, we recently found out that our company is moving toward replacing technical writer work with an AI program, and nothing's really guaranteed yet, but they're, like, very excited to save money on this. And so now I've been kind of given an off-the-record heads-up that, hey, within a year, you probably need to start looking because we might be becoming obsolete, which is just, I don't want to leave my job. So here's the problem is, I don't want to leave my job. I really like it. I like the balance that it gives me, but now I'm kind of feel like I have to. So what would y'all do if you were kind of like forced out of a job that you like, but you want to find something similar? Like, I'm afraid to go to the same industry. Should I try to like branch out? Because honestly, my job's really boring and I feel like I'm not getting fulfilled creatively. So maybe is it time to branch out? What do you think? I'd love your feedback. Thanks, y'all. Love the podcast.
Hi, AI.
Yeah, I have a friend that's going through this as well. Like, she fears that she's going to be, you know, taken out by AI, which, you know, is on the horizon as companies want to make more profit. I would say start talking to your coworkers right now if you can. I know remote work can be slightly isolating, but trying to come together in some way to make sure you're all on the same team as these layoffs roll out. Perhaps there's like some kind of negotiation that could happen, either like for severance or, you know, trying to publicly shame the company into maintaining real actual human beings to do the work. If the company has like partners that they're working with, letting those partners know that this is a shift that could happen that could also affect service in some way. Trying to find those pressure points within the company to shame them to back off would be, I think, the most useful now, knowing that you have a little time out from when this might happen.
I love that we have a real union expert to help answer.
I mean, I think, like, aside from, yeah, hopefully being able to figure out a way to stay, you know, the good news is that hopefully you have a minute, it sounds like, to figure it out. They kind of gave you a heads up, so that's a good thing. I mean, you can take your time finding something new. You don't have to rush, so that's nice. So you have a minute to maybe explore options. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think the inherent problem here is, right, that, like, what industry is not going to be affected by this and not be fucked over?
Yeah,
and almost, for sure, most of them are. And so I guess it's doing a little bit of research as far as, like, what's going to take
the
longest? What are they going to get to the furthest? Which I don't know the answer to that. Obviously, we do creative work, and I think we are safe in some ways. You know, there's other ways I'm sure that we can't even predict that we're not. You know, I mean, like, look, is it robot writing Law and Order SVU? Probably at this point. Because they can just put that into a machine and be like, yeah, that's been the same episode of TV, you know, over and over for 20 years. So I don't know. I guess it depends on what kind of creative area you want to move into. Whatever it is, I would start dallying in it now and kind of working on it, even just for your own, you know, just for your own outlet, basically. Like, what kind of writing would you want to do? Kind of zeroing in on that and starting it, and maybe taking some classes or just doing something where you're kind of exploring that a little bit.
Yeah, create your samples. I mean, I think the really good news for you is, like, I mean, I've done a shitload of copywriting freelancing throughout my adult life. And, like, honestly, when people tell me they want or need remote work, I'm always like, go into copywriting. Like, they're like, I think, and a lot of people's barrier to entry to that is that they don't have a portfolio and they don't have work experience in that field. And you do. Mm-hmm. And I actually think, like, technical writing, copywriting, blog writing, that kind of stuff is actually a field where there's so much demand. I mean, literally everyone needs a copywriter, literally. Like, I see a lot of job postings on LinkedIn or go to Media Bistro. I use a lot, Creative Circle. And just, I would right now get a couple of freelance clients right now while you still have this job, because that is going to make you feel a little bit more secure. If something does happen, you're going to have these other revenue sources. You can charge more as a freelancer, and you need to charge more as a freelancer because you're going to be paying self-employment tax and all that stuff. But actually, I think like you're very employable, and there's a lot of work out there and work that can pay really well. I will say this too. The copywriting that I've done for weed companies has paid, this is a tip for everyone, has paid so much better than any kind of copywriting. Like, there's so much fucking money in cannabis. Find a cannabis company, reach out to them cold and ask if they need a copywriter. Everyone with a website needs a copywriter. I mean, it's just, it's, if you have a very important and universal skill. So I think if your goal is to continue to have this kind of like flexible, cool work from home situation, it's totally doable. You're good.
There was one other thing she touched on that I just wanted to maybe poke a few questions at. And, you know, it's in regard to possibly needing an accommodation for the bipolar that you had mentioned. And I'm wondering, you know, sometimes when employees express health needs in some way, suddenly then it's the boss that's like, oh, geez, we need to tighten the ship around here, and you're gone. So if you have asked for an accommodation in any way, I would just do a little digging around with your manager to make sure that it is actually an AI layoff and not you being targeted for having specific needs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. That is such a good point.
That's a great point. Yeah, definitely.
And I mean, I would imagine like if you do think it is because you've asked for these accommodations, like you have legal protections, right?
Yeah. There's the Americans with Disabilities Act, where like a mental diagnosis like that would fall under and qualify you for. So always document everything via email. Don't have conversations on the phone.
Document everything.
Yeah, exactly. And just like a, you know, unfortunate reminder that it's like, you know, these bosses, especially the higher, further they get away from you personally, like are not your friends. They are.
Oh, yeah, you're a number.
Bottom line. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And like, I think also I'd be curious about like the AI writing that has come out is like still, it's not great. Like they still need those. That shit still needs editors. So I wonder if there is a way that if they do want to start implementing AI, I wonder how many people at your job do your position, and if there'd be a way to be like, well, I can also edit copy. Like, you know, if there's a way to like expand or something like that, you know what I mean? Like expand your job role to be like, all right, cool. Well, this is its limitability, like, you know, this is its limits and its capabilities or whatever.
Definitely. Yeah, you're still going to need that human touch.
Yeah.
Exactly. But good luck. I mean, you got I think you're in a really good position. You have a nice runway time-wise. You have legal rights if this is a case where you're being discriminated against. You have a very marketable skill. You know what you want. You're going
to
be fine.
Yeah, you're not going to lose this. Like, what you have going on, you're either going to be able to keep it or you're going to be able to find it. I definitely know that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Good luck.
Yeah. Let us know where you land.
And thank you so much, Kristen, for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was super fun.
Shout out to everybody where they can hear your podcast and your album that comes out on the 26th.
Yeah, I'm so excited for that. The pre-sale is going to be April 15th through the 25th, and that'll be through Burn This Records, which I was so excited to be a part of. And then my podcast, you can get wherever podcasts you find.
Absolutely.
Oh, and KristenLady.com is my website with everything on it.
Perfect.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you. And we'll see you all next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hey, ladies. So I'm listening to the latest episode, and Tess just referred to a zine as Zine. And Tess, don't feel bad. My ex once said Quay instead of Q, if that makes you feel any better. Love you guys.
Tess, I am talking specifically to you, I guess, because that's how I just started talking. After hearing that you don't like deviled eggs, which I understand, I didn't for a really long time as well. I am a lifelong mayonnaise hater, until some hormonal changes make me kind of like them, which another topic. I hope that never happens to you. It's very strange. Anyway, I just want to let you know that there is at a restaurant, one of the nicer restaurants in the city where I live in Arkansas, has something called a truffled deviled egg. And it is everybody's favorite fucking thing from this restaurant. They can't get enough. I could eat an entire plate of them. They don't traditionally, and I was like distracted because I was looking up a recipe to be sure that I wasn't lying to you. But they can use mayonnaise, but they can use sour cream. And so I think if you've got one that used a really heavy sour cream, and listen to what else is in this, girl. Clove of garlic, sour cream, Dijon mustard, black truffle oil, and fresh chives. And man, they whip it up and make it nice and fluffy, and it's like so earthy and herbaceous, and they put like a little Parmesan crisp on top. So I don't know if you do dairy, but anyway, I'm urging you, please, reconsider. Try one. It's so good. Oh my God, I need one though. I love you guys.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine. Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy and give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker.